Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Palma Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and today I am pleased to introduce again Oscar Sitges. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Well, it's lovely to have you back again. It's been a little while since we've had you on board.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been, I think, 3 weeks or something. Way too long.
Yeah, it's been since before the whole crisis happened. How are you holding up?
I mean, we're holding up well, I'm fascinated, I could say, fascinated by how things were turning the way they were turning, by people, by industry, by governments. I've never expected to be as it was. Well, never expected the forms, you know, that were taken to arrive to the present situation. I did expect a little bit the results, especially for our industry, that or the happenings that were going to come. But all in all, it's in a way fantastic that we have not chatted for 3 weeks, because now we have an out view to a situation that we guessed before, and which is and the one that it is a fact now.
Yeah. Well, now that we're starting to see an easing coming out of this whole situation, what do you see happening? I mean, as far as the agents and brokers going forward, we are now, you know, getting to the situation where, you know, in France, in Monaco, in Spain, everything is sort of lightening up a little bit. What is the next step? What is the plan going forward?
I've been witness to several intents of making plans to go forward by different sectors in the industry. And you know, I'm a member of ICOMIA. So in ICOMIA, we were developing, you know, steps or guidelines of what to do when yachting is open again, or the nautical activities are open again. Also, I've checked, obviously, plans from different governments of how to proceed. Nautical activities are not really being taken seriously, which is very logical, because two generations behind me have that could happen. So this was totally new. And the nautical activity, we know that it's important. We know it employs a lot of people. We know it's good for the mental health of many other people. But compared with the rest of the world and what is happening, it is not a real priority. We have to save the situation now. I mean, we've been put to a complete stop, which is not the bad part is not the actual stop of having to close the harbors and not sail. The bad part is we have broken a chain of actions and behaviors and protocols that made that the nautical industry kept on rolling smoothly and going forward. And to pick it up again, that is the real tough duty we all have now to make it happen. It's not going to be quick at all. It's not going to be happening until next year, season of next year. And that is the situation that we are having now, where we have to act preparing what is going to happen next year. It's very little what we can do for this year. All those plans are pretty well made, but most of them, I would say 95% of them, they refer to the industry, they refer to the boats, they refer to elements, but they do not face that people in the industry need help too. And when I say people in the industry, I'm just going through the worker at the boat factory, the man or the person selling accessories for boating or regattas or pinks, the people employed in boat yards. I mean, our industry is very wide on such ways, and there is a lot of people that have suffered or survived the situation we had in different ways. And we have to think about those people. Those people are not coming back to the industry saying, hey, oh, okay, now we can get out, so let's go for it, let's make it happen again. Some of those people will have people they know that are not there anymore. Some of those people will be in terrible financial trouble. Some of those people will be worrying about other people of the family or friends that cannot make it. So we have to have those people in mind, and we have to make possible that those people receive, even if it's a simple, tap on their shoulder and say, guys, we're going to be there for you.
Well, do you think that the industry is going to, you know, within the Mediterranean, is there going to be any movement at all this year, do you think?
Yes, there are going to be movements. I believe there are going to be movements at the, let's call it low scale, in the lower part of the industry, let's say, which is for me still the biggest important part of the industry, which is cost. That is where most people are. I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of people with boats in between, 30 feet and 70 feet. So the big mega yachts, the big yachting, boats of 40 meters and up, of course, they move a lot of money in the industry. Probably they move few thousand boats. They move a lot of money and they move a lot of industry, more than all the rest. But again, people is sitting on the rest of the industry. And those small people with the small boats are the ones that will be able to go back and sort of start sailing and start enjoying the boat, going and chartering a boat in a normal way, like, I would not say like nothing happened, but close to what it was 3 months ago or 4 months ago. The bigger part of the industry, it's a different way. You cruise. I cannot believe that crew is going to be looking at navigating, sailing with guests the same way that it was 4 months ago, because there is a lot more issues in. I'm not going to repeat all the whole thing with the medical thing, which is there, right? And everybody and every single good captain is taking care of that and getting advice on that. But for those people, yachting will be a lot more different than for the small boat people. So it's going to come back, but it's going to come back this year much easier on the low side than on the high side. Look, I was assisting to a couple of webinars in these last 3 weeks or something. And then I saw agents and I saw brokers talking about the thing and so on. And they were just referring to the business and referring to bringing the business back. Yeah, maybe, because even if the countries do not open the borders and the whole thing or the harbors, but you can always have these, hyper-loaded people that can take their own private planes and go and use the boat and take a charter. True. How many are those? 50 people, 200 people, mm-hmm. In what? In, I don't know, 500,000 boat users, 2 million boat users in the Western world. So yes, those things would exist, but if they are going to bet on that with the amount of agents and charters and the charter brokers that are, it's not going to be enough for them at all. So I think the whole thing should be really thought again.
Well, and I mean, when you're taking a look at Europe in general, we're not sure about borders opening up. I mean, right now, we're not sure about borders are opening up between countries in Europe, let alone for example, the UK or the US. And a lot of the boat owners aren't from Europe. They're from other places. Some are from Europe, of course. So if the borders aren't opening, there is no way that these people can get here to access the boats or to charter the boats, no matter whether they have access to private jets or not.
That is true. On that, because we are now assisting to the very first tries of opening up and see how the whole thing works. And when I say see how the whole thing works, I mean, no government has the crystal ball, none of them. No. So they are trying to let the people free. They are trying to open this and that thing. They are trying to let opening, like in Spain, restaurants at 50% capacity, just to spend another couple of weeks and see what happens. So after that, the decisions taken by governments will be the ones that really are going to affect us, because they are going to be taken for longer times. I don't believe we are going to be closing the houses anymore, because everybody learned from that and everybody saw how you can contain the contagious spread, the whole thing. But there will be limitations, and we'll have to live with them. And for me, the trick is to learn how to live with those limitations and still have yachting alive. Like making suggestions, making guidelines, making, you know, general rules, codes of practice, just to go to a harbor and use the boat, that will not affect and go against what in general the countries are deciding to do. That's the only way. Just to go and tell them, no, listen, we are a healthy bunch, and we are no trouble because we go sailing far away and we are 3 miles from the next boat. That's not good enough. That is not acceptable. But when you make a protocol and say, look, we are just going to, you know, get people, I mean, we are not going to open, let's say, the toilets in the marinas as they were before or something, because we don't want people to pile up there, or the vestiaries will be used in different ways, or they have to log in and log out. Doesn't matter that they go for a 3 mile spin off. That will make authorities quieter about it. And then, you know, you just have to manage to put their defenses a little bit down and see that you are no trouble, but not by saying, I'm no trouble, by demonstrating that you are no trouble.
Well, this is also going to affect crew as well, because if crew cannot get from, you know, we all know that it's a nomadic industry. We have crew that come from Australia, from New Zealand, from South Africa, and it's migratory as well. So when it's the Mediterranean season, the crew is here. When it is, you know, the Fort Lauderdale season, they are there. But with the border situation and some of the things that we see coming out of the States, are we going to see the industry in the future looking to employ those that are from the local area more so than those that are from overseas?
My view is that the only boats that would be fit to carry on, let's say, being leisure maritime and entertaining the guests or entertaining charter guests will be those that have kept the crew. Because to have your crew from a country or a different country, first, if they stay in, they can keep being in the boat. They are in the boat. They are like in the old times where the Schengen didn't exist. You know, and you have to go and present every passport in every place you went. We all live with that. And we all live in the, I remember in the 80s, having to go and tell the Guardia Civil, listen, I'm departing from here within, you know, 4 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm going to Antibes. And I'm planning to arrive to Antibes at such and such time. We all live with that. We can go back to that for the sake of having the thing controlled. That's no problem at all. What I think is going to be a lot harder is people that left, crew went, or let crew go, or people that suffer, that truth says, look, sorry, this is too much for me. I have to go back home just to get new crew. Because you say, yeah, okay, you take local crew and so on, and then you sort it out. Listen, the crew is not someone who fulfills a function on board. Crew is part of the boat, and a crew relates to a captain. And every single good captain tailors somehow the crew to himself. And he knows what to expect from the crew. And the crew trusts him and responds. You cannot build it up in 3 or 4 days with new crew. And that makes a whole difference in boats. In one of the webinars, Janusz Waliński, captain of Roma, was there, right? And for me, he's the example of the perfect captain, because he's a guy who takes care of his people, knows his people fantastically. People adore him. He ticks every single, little square on. And it's a kind of guy that I think with Roma, you could just go after tomorrow, go sailing and have a great time. But there are not many like that. Mm-hmm. And that is the point that I make, that people forget that are part of the boat and a part of how big the boat is and the fantastic agent you have and the whole thing. There are a lot of other things which relate totally to people, persons. And I don't see that being taken care of.
Right. Well, one thing that we have noticed is with the lack of activity, the lack of boating, and we've seen a huge change in the environment. We've seen the waters being clearer and cleaner. I just saw a post on Facebook the other day where a gentleman who is in the yachting industry, he went swimming for the first time, of course, because sanctions were lightening up. And he said he'd never seen the water so clear and he'd never seen so many fish as he'd seen before. It was just teeming with fish. What do you think the industry is going to be doing going forward to perhaps keep the waters the same way they are now? Or is that possible?
It goes further than the industry. Of course, the industry can do a lot. The industry was already quite aware of saving the seas, taking care of the environment, because without those wonderful things, seeing fish, clear waters and the whole thing, we have nothing to play with. We play with water, like it or not. It's as basic as that. Now, I'm terrified because This sudden change on emissions and the transparency of water, and we've all seen in the TV the Venice channels, with fishes and seeing the bottom of the channels and so on. It's a fantastic message, but when you take it as, oh shit, what have we done? We should go back to that and do as much as possible. It will be impossible to reach perfection. Impossible, because it will mean that we have to give up things that we are already used to in life, and it's very hard to go backwards. We were used to transportation. We were used to the speed of deliveries. We were used to the facility of having public transportation every 3 minutes. And all that made that the environment was hurt. Now, we are conscious of that. We've seen that. But I'm very afraid of people thinking, if we could achieve, such a difference in 2 months, then it's no problem. Because at any time we want, we can go back to those 2 months and then we clean the whole planet again. And those I'm so afraid of. And we've given the thing on the train. What a mess are you making around with the environment if we just stop 2 months and we clean the whole thing again? And I was thinking, after the third beer, I think it was, because with the first beer, didn't work. But after the third one, then I was thinking, okay, you know, I will just propose a stop for 2 weeks, 10 days or something like that, every month and a half, or every 2 months or something, just to keep the balance, you know, a little bit better, and to see if that sort of maintenance of good behavior could help the thing. I don't have the answer, but the result was there, and it's fantastic if we are going to do something about it, not if we are going to justify, okay, let's go wild again, because this we can fix at any time we want. We know that any time we want will never happen.
Well, I mean, I think with all that's been going on, you know, because I am sort of attached to the computer and constantly researching, there have been a lot of bills that have been overturned that were kinder for the environment while we haven't been watching. And that is a bit of a fear for sure. But one other thing, it's not specific to yachting, but it does affect yachting. I am wondering if what's going to happen is that airline prices are going to go up as a result of, you know, they're going to have social distancing. So they won't be using, for example, the center seat in the plane. You know, is this going to take airfare back to the way it was maybe in the 70s or 80s when it was something that was not such a budget thing? It wasn't about shuffling bodies like tin cans. It was more of something that, you know, the upper middle class to the upper class utilized airfare.
Air travel will become more expensive. Especially because a lot of companies will have to merge or disappear. They won't be able to hold it. I don't see governments forcing air travel to keep distances within the plane, because it has an illogical thing to it. And the illogical thing to it is the airplane air filtration, yeah, is one of the best filtrations you can find on Earth. It's close to a surgical room air filtration. So that I don't see. I think it will be affordable. I don't think it will be that sort of war of a low tariffs just to get the cheap holidays, mm-hmm, that we had in the last few years. But there is an absolute fact, which is without airplanes, trade will just come down to sort of half, because airplanes made possible that people moved and trade. And yes, of course, you can use Skype and you can use Zoom, but sometimes you need to be at the board meeting with the right people, looking at each other's faces, and taking the decisions. And we are, I mean, I don't think the person-to-person relation is ever going to be completely exchanged for a cyber presence, let's call it like that, you know? I think air transportation will come back. Will come back. We'll keep on going. Actually, yes, definitely. But it will be a bit more expensive. And on the medical side of it and so on, look, Emirates, 2 weeks ago, I think, Emirates was the first airline. They started, they said to all the passengers, said, guys, you have to come 3 hours before, because mm-hmm, we are going to take your temperature and make you a test that takes 20 minutes. Who doesn't pass a test doesn't board the plane.
Right.
Many countries open the airways to Emirates immediately. It can be done. It's expensive. It's time consuming. But I remember when we started having to pass security controls at the airports. I mean, we used to go, you know, just walking through and to the gate and in the plane. And then after 9/11, we suddenly started to pass the controls and the whole thing. And you know, half of the travelers said, you know, this is going to bring the airline industry down, and it didn't. And neither would be any kind of taking care of the passenger that the airlines do now.
Right. Well, you know, with that vein, Monaco is going ahead with their yacht show. Do you think it's going to have the numbers that it's had in previous years? Do you think it's going to have the showings that it's had in previous years? And do you think it's a wise decision?
I'm not wiser than Informa PLC, which owns the Monaco yacht show, and I'm certainly not wiser than Gael, who directs that show for many, many years. I don't see it happening. The show can be there. The boats, not all of them, but they could have enough boats to justify the show. But the people having to arrive there, that's something I don't have a clear at all here. I don't think that by September, everything will be, you know, happy flying around again. Not at all. And I always calculate in these cases, like I think Metz is going to happen, or Dusseldorf next year is going to happen. But why? I always calculate on a certain reasonable radius of, let's say, 450, 500 kilometers, how many people could just grab the car and go to the show. And is that the kind of people that the show needs to keep on going? In Metz, it ticks perfect, no problem. You have like 400 million people or 350 million people within 400 kilometers of the Met. So you can have a reasonable show with that. With Monaco, if the decision will be mine, I will do it.
Well, I mean, a lot of the shows, you know, initially when this all started, a lot of the shows were all just postponing and postponing and postponing. And then we eventually saw, you know, after a couple of weeks, this one said, okay, no, we're completely canceling. Another one, we're completely canceling, because they were all sort of gathering together between September through November. And you can't have that many shows all at the same time. No one's going to be there. So I guess, you know, we'll see with Monaco and, you know, if they do indeed go ahead. But most of these shows have decided to just cancel for this year and make it a bigger and better 2021.
I think so. I mean, there is another thing. Metz can afford to make the show, so does Dusseldorf. But there are shows which really depend on the people coming and the visitors coming and being able to cash their value. And people will have to choose very well where do they go and what do they skip for next year. And there, I think, is where shows should realize that maybe they are not important enough or they are too vulnerable to those kind of things just to say, you know, I don't care, I make the show this year, and I go on with that. There is the way of thinking that I think should be done. And many other people, I think, they could do mini shows or mini exhibitions. Why? Because 80% of their public is within 100 kilometers.
Right.
And then you know that they are going to come.
Yeah. Well, Oscar, I thank you very much for your time. It's always a learning experience for me, and I'm sure for the audience as well. I would love to catch up with you again in a few weeks after things have started moving a little bit and get your insight on what's going on, because you seem to have your thumb on the pulse of the industry straight across the face of the planet. So your insight is invaluable. So I thank you very much for your time.
One little thing extra. You know what I'm missing the most? I have not seen any sign of innovation. I mean, we are having troubled times, and troubled times, most of the times, awaken something, and innovation pops up, and you say, ooh, you know, if we would do this, we would be less vulnerable for the next thing. You know, being medical, being technological, being whatever. I have not seen nothing of that. We are still in time. I have seen nothing of that. And that is a real, real pity.
Well, I mean, you never know. There could be some hidden something somewhere that somebody hasn't, you know, jumped up and shouted about yet. So they may be waiting until things start kicking off a little bit better. We might actually be surprised.
I hope so. Listen, I'm a positive thinking person. Always been. We can do it. Always we can do it. And I hope one of these days I said, hey, here it is. Fantastic. We are going in the right direction.
Well, fingers crossed. I think, you know, we've had a long time to sit and think and sort of plan out the future. I do notice that for the first time ever, the yachting industry has moved. Something that I have talked to you about before, and the fact that the yachting industry hasn't quite gotten into the digital age of things. Well, they sure moved in the last 6 weeks and very, very fast. And now they're all about digital. And, you know, we have been digital since 1980, 1990 was the start of the digital age. And the yachting industry didn't even start touching it up until 6 weeks ago. And they've fully embraced it now. So some things have changed. And I think, you know, we will continue to see changes as the days go forward, because this is all a new reality for everybody. And everybody is figuring things out as they go. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring or how it's going to affect anything. And as we do, I'm sure the industry, with a lot of very intelligent people, will be able to figure that out and move it forward.
I'm sure we will.
Well, Oscar, thank you again. We really appreciate your time, and I hope you're keeping well and stay well. And yeah, like I said, we'll get a hold of you in a couple of weeks and see how things are going.
Fantastic. Big kiss to you.
Thank you. Once again, you've been watching another edition of Palma Yacht Crew Vlogs. We thank Oscar Sitges for his time. My name is Rhea Rao. I have been your host. Join us again for the next episode.